Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Crowds gathered at the Supreme Court last night, and President Trump has ordered flags to be flown at half-staff following the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Ginsburg died yesterday of pancreatic cancer. She was 87. Before she died, she gave a statement to her granddaughter, saying her most fervent wish is that she not be replaced until a new president is installed. NPR's Susan Davis says that debate has already started.
Chuck Schumer, the top Democrat in the Senate, tweeted, quote, "The American people should have a voice in the selection of their next Supreme Court justice. Therefore, this vacancy should not be filled until we have a new president," end quote. And Chuck Schumer chose these words precisely because it is exactly what Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said upon the death of conservative Justice Antonin Scalia back in February of 2016. And it was that justification that McConnell used to hold open the seat until after the election, refusing to take up President Barack Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland.
Senator McConnell is pledging to hold a vote on President Trump's nominee. To Michigan now, a judge has ruled that mail-in ballots postmarked the day before the election will be counted, even if the mail is delayed. Abigail Sinsky from member station WKAR has more.
The Michigan Court of Claims injunction orders that all ballots postmarked the day before the election and received 14 days after Election Day be counted. Previously, under Michigan law, mail-in ballots received after 8 p.m. Election Day were not counted. In the opinion, the judge cites Postal Service delays potentially disenfranchising voters at a time when record numbers of Michiganders have requested absentee ballots. More than 6,000 ballots were not counted in the August primary because they arrived late. The injunction also expands ballot delivery assistance for voters through the close of polls Election Day. Changes will last through the November election, but are not permanent. For NPR News, I'm Abigail Sensky.
A government watchdog is investigating the Pentagon's interest in deploying a heat ray to control crowds around the White House. It's part of a broader review of the tactics used by federal forces against racial justice protesters this summer. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.
The request for an investigation from the Government Accountability Office has taken on new urgency in the wake of news first reported by NPR that the top military police officer in D.C. had been inquiring about a kind of heat ray device just hours before police used tear gas and smoke to clear peaceful protesters from Lafayette Park in early June. In a letter obtained by NPR, the GAO told members of the Senate Armed Services Committee that it would begin a review of the federal response to demonstrators. The last time the GAO reviewed the military's so-called non-lethal weapons program was in 2009. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
This is NPR. A hurricane watch is in effect today for coastal Texas. Tropical Storm Beta gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico. Beta expected to become a hurricane tomorrow, even as parts of the Alabama coast and Florida panhandle clean up from Hurricane Sally. More than 200,000 homes and businesses remain without power. Amid the wildfires that have been raging on the West Coast, an earthquake has jolted Southern California. The quake struck late last night. The U.S. Geological Survey says it had a magnitude of 4.5 and was centered near Los Angeles. Officials are warning people to be prepared for aftershocks. In Rochester, New York, police are looking for a suspect in a shooting overnight that left two people dead and 14 others wounded. And the interim police chief says it's too early to tell whether there was one or more shooters. The gunfire happened at a backyard party on the city's east side. For the first time since March, the Smithsonian Institution is reopening some indoor museums in Washington, D.C., and NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
Only four museums are reopening this weekend: the National Portrait Gallery, the American Art Museum, the Renwick Gallery, and the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Last month, the head of the Smithsonian, Lonnie Bunch, opened some gardens, a branch of the Air and Space Museum outside D.C., and the National Zoo. He explained new protocols in a video and apologized for the closure.
Thank you for understanding, and welcome back to the Smithsonian.
The Smithsonian has been more cautious than many other large museums around the country. Most of its other popular spaces, which normally draw visitors from around the world, remain closed. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
This is NPR.